Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Mason Marchman on the forehand. Pass, shot, score! Score! Tyler Seguin! The Stars have done it! Back-to-back overtime wins! 2-1, they lead the series. 2-1, they win Game 3.
And that is how we start the Thursday edition, draft day, here on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. As Tolo J said, I'm tired as S, but we are here to listen and here to win. Artemio with a scarier tweet saying it's NFL draft day. Get ready for some Mexican candy shots at Pluckers and Mesquite tonight. Oh, my. But good morning to all. Hopefully you stayed up for the Dallas Stars stealing another one. Are they getting closer to stealing this series? As Mason Marchment, to me, gets the GOAT label off of his shoulders, the bad GOAT, after the high stick and the four-minute penalty that you think is going to cost them, if not at the end of the third, at the start of overtime. The Stars kill it, and then you have Ratanen setting up Marchment. Marchment is falling down before this assist to Tyler Seguin for the game winner, and the Dallas Stars have led in this series for less than 90 seconds, yet they're up 2-1. Wow, on the road in Colorado.
Yeah, and it wasn't just the high stick. It wasn't that he was getting redemption from. There were a lot of people in game one who felt like it's a 2-1 game. They're in the third period where it was a 2-1 game, and Marchman's got a clean shot and just put it right in Blackwood's chest. And a lot of people felt like it wasn't a good shot given the look that he had. And there were people like, man, that kind of changed things. It made it that would have been 2-2. Instead, they score a few minutes later. They're up 3-1, and then they get the empty netters, and everything falls apart. So, yeah, redemption for Marchment. And, the last two games, we've had significant storylines where it's been Marchment. And then, with Blackwell, where he comes in after not even playing in the first game and has a great game the entire time and then gets to put it on top with the final goal. But this is feeling good now. We're feeling good.
And you withstood the emotional return of their captain out for 3 years. He also had a nice little bump towards Ratanen early on in that game.
Crowd loved that.
Crowd goes bonkers. Colorado was 25-5 leading after two periods. 25-5 going back their last 30 games, and they end up losing this one. How about Esa Lindell with the save, with his hand? With a wide open goal, it looks like it's game over. He's able to go ahead and start staggering and falling to the ice. He reaches out. He deflects the puck and the shot in the eventual game winner. Pepe, your thoughts?
Look, I mean, Colorado, Denver, really, it's not supposed to be an easy place to win games. And the Stars, the last 2 years now, have won 4 straight games in Colorado.
Oh.
I think the Stars have only led for 70 seconds this entire series, and they're 2 wins away from winning it. So I know we've talked about, you know, the Mavs possibly moving to Vegas, but if there's one team in DFW to move out, it's the Stars going to Colorado. Because they just keep winning games there. They keep winning games, and I think that's now 3 straight overtime wins against the Avs.
Pete DeBoer. After the OT thriller.
Gutsy win. I mean, you're going after the game and you want to acknowledge some of the key guys and key plays. And you really, I could have gone around the room. Everybody jumped on tonight and did their part. And, you know, I thought we worked for a win. We did a lot of really good things. You know, our penalty killing's been one of the best in the league, you know, the last 3 years. You know, I think we felt confident going into the overtime that we could get the job done. And, you know, if we did, I think there was a good feeling that we were going to win the game. And knowing Mason, you know, and how he was feeling about that penalty, I just, you know, you couldn't have written a better script for how it ended.
The way everyone was talking about last night's game is that it was worth all the hype of the series. Great goaltending, well played on both sides, very good coaching. That's the way that this series, Steve Levy was saying this was his most anticipated series of round one, and it is living up to it. Back and forth, razor thin margins, and that's exactly what you have with a team who doesn't lead for 2 minutes up 2-1.
Is that what you want in the,
no.
Like from the standpoint of entertainment, sure, it's good, but it's also just, it's disappointing to think one of these two teams isn't going to go on. Like this feels like this should be something closer to the Western Conference Finals.
Yes,
but
it's definitely disappointing for my REM cycle.
Oh, it's screwing you up. Oh, tonight's going to really screw you up, too, if you're getting Mexican candy shots, too, on top of it.
Well, I would say you're screwed. Zach Walchuk yesterday is definitely screwed. I mean, Zach never left the building yesterday. He was here from 8 to 10. I tried to not even involve him in crosstalk so he can go back home, come up here at like 1:30, 1:45. We're sitting in the conference room after the show, and Walchuk moseys on in there. Then I'm driving home. I hear him on the KMC Masterpiece. They said, are you going to be able to survive? He goes, well, the only thing that can happen is overtime. The only thing that cannot take place for my body and my physical status is overtime tonight, and that's exactly what went down. But you working all these hours, me drinking, Walchuk working a 15, 16-hour day yesterday. There's gonna be some Monday, Tuesday sick days here.
I think you're gonna be hurting more tomorrow morning than I am, because you're gonna have to be like, I'm just gonna be sitting there watching the draft like I would normally watch the draft. I'm just gonna be in a room for it. But you're gonna be on, and you're gonna be, you know, sharing in the drinks, and
I gotta be careful.
This will be payback, Sean, for when we went out to a Mexican bar company and you were giving us all those shots because you had the next day off, but we were all drinking there.
And Peyton drank the 4 in a row.
The 4 yes. Tequila shots in a row, and I showed up, when I usually do.
Tolo Rick going to be out there. Ivan going to be out there. Jake Reitman is going to recap the Stars with us. He's going to be out there with me as well. We have the NFL draft coverage at all the different Pluckers locations, but I'm not going to have the wife to drive me back home, so I have to be extra, extra careful. And I got to pay attention.
That's why you're wearing that hat. I see. You're wearing that hat because you're hoping for a ride home.
Alba
tonight.
Limo.
Yeah.
What if I, the place is 12 minutes away from my house. What if I have Alba Limo pick me up for NFL draft coverage? I'm not even on the radio. So the Stars take the 2-1 lead. Let us know your thoughts and if you stayed up for it at 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. Franco LaFranco, injury attorney, text line. You know, Messier and Subban, they were giving the Stars a lot of credit after the first period. Even the analyst on TV was like, they're playing their game. Pete DeBoer with the in-game interview, he's like, I'm happy, I'm satisfied. And I kept looking at the shot total, Peyton, and I was like, this, am I the only one? It doesn't feel to me like they're dominating the period. They're playing well in the period, but I think they were up like 13-5 in shots, and it did not feel that way. And right now, it's setting up, the storyline is that the Stars steal a series, or they've stolen, I'll knock on wood and not jinx it, they've stolen a 2-1 lead because of the lack of time that they've been leading.
Yeah, and look, the game one, we talked about it the other day. The 5-1 loss, that's lopsided. It was 2-1 with 10 minutes left in the third period. You know, that's a close game. It just, you had a couple empty net goals there. But the Stars, yeah, last night, the last two games, I think, they've been doing well in the offensive zone, in Colorado's offensive zone. So they put some shots on goal, give Blackwood a lot of credit there. He's been playing well. But, yeah, it feels like they've stolen the series so far.
They had gotten outshot in 16 straight games before game two. That was the first time that they – and then last night they tie up and shot. On goal. So I think just the fact that they've been getting dominated for the better part of, you know, a month in terms of their shot opportunities is, it's at least good to see they get more shots in game two on goal. And then last night they end up tying it up, and it's kind of turn back the clock nighter. It's a little more nostalgic getting both Ben and Sagan scoring.
All right, on at the same time as your Dallas Stars, and you could quickly tune away from this one, whether you were listening on the radio or watching on TV, with Kumar Rocker in the first.
And that's it. Hung in the air to center field. Hit well. Pillar going ball, and it is gone. Well, the way we saw the ball travel last night apparently is the way it's going to travel tonight. Although, Butler pretty much got all of that. He hit it at 105 miles an hour off a 3-2 slider. And the A's have jumped out to a 1-0 lead.
Bobby, you talked about the ball jumping there in Sacramento. I'm sitting here looking on the cut sheet. I'm like, Jock Peterson, that's the only highlight you have, Peyton. What the heck? Sacramento. It's under the Sacramento category on my cut sheet.
It was a highlight for Jock. He finally broke the streak.
Yes, it was a highlight, but it was not for Kumar Rocker, Bobby. 4 runs, 6 hits in the first inning, and the ball game ended right there. The Rangers lose 5-2.
Yeah, there's a little bit of this concern, I think, about Kumar, where it's he strikes me as though his career, at least right now, it's very early, but you get the sense like he might be one of these guys who it's like, oh, we'll see which Kumar we're gonna get on the hill today. Like that's just kind of the way that he's, which he was that way at Vandy at times, where it was just you never knew which days he was going to show up and be a little wild, or he'd be over the plate too much. And last night he was, it wasn't so much being super wild. He was throwing first pitch strikes. He didn't walk a bunch of guys. He didn't hit guys, but he was getting rocked. He was getting hit pretty hard and leaving the ball over the plate. And it's just, sometimes he's going to be on, sometimes not. I think that's going to be the case until Chris Young and the staff figure out how do we make sure that his mechanics are consistent.
Wyatt did go yard. He feels like he's living up to the hype.
Yeah.
He's not suffering that Evan Carter letdown right now. So he goes yard, but as Peyton alluded to, we finally broke the longest streak in Rangers history.
The pitch to Jock is swung on and hit high in the air, deep center field. Back goes Blade, and he can't get it. It's over his head and off the wall. Peterson on his way to second base. The throw, he's safe at second base. And Jock Peterson, against one of the premier closers in the game, has snapped his 0-41 with a double to straightaway center field.
Hey!
Greatest pinch hitter in baseball. Right there, Jock Peterson. That's all. That's the trick. You just can't have him in the lineup. You got to surprise him. Hit him with the Jock Peterson out of nowhere, and there it is. That's good for him. When you hear the booze rating down though a little bit there, do you think that's just like, great, we're the ones who gave up the hit to him? Like, is that A's fans just be Sacramento fans being ungrateful?
So the Rangers end up losing tonight. You can hear game three on our sister station, News Radio 1080 KRLD, as the NFL draft coverage takes over.
You did mention Wyatt Langford, obviously kind of living up to potential a little bit. He is not a qualifying batter because of that time he spent on the injured list. But if he were a qualified batter right now, like had enough plate appearances to qualify, he would be third in the American League in OPS. And so, I mean, he's lived up to potential in every sort of way. It feels like if he's healthy for the whole season, you are going to get the year that, you know, Choppy was jokingly expecting last year, which was, I want the rookie year of Mike Trout. Like, where you could see a guy who's got like a 950 OPS and somebody who hits 35, 40 home runs.
And Corey Seager, this is starting to get annoying.
Yeah.
A low-grade strain. He's going to the IL. Sandler says the expectation is he's away only 4 or close to the minimum 10 days. So Corey Seager hurt with a right hammy.
Yeah, and what's the, I mean,
it's annoying.
Boy, it felt like he missed more time even in 22, his first year here. He played 151 of 162 games. But, I mean, the last couple of years, he's missed 40 games each year where he's been, you know, had extended stretches on the IL. And You hope it's just a little one. And so far this year, whenever they've said Josh Young will be back quick, he was back quick. Wyatt Langford will be back quick, he was back quick. You hope that's the case. But in the last couple of years, Chris Young and the Rangers, they have had a little bit of a reputation of like, oh, nothing to see here. And then it's like, oh, that ended up being much bigger deal than you guys had said.
Last night in the association, the Rockets got even with the Warriors. Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, in studio for the final 2 hours today, starting at 8, is not going to be happy because Jimmy Butler, something because of Draymond Green, Jimmy Butler leaves this game early. Rockets win. Cleveland up 2-0. On the Miami Heat, and the Celtics, without Jason Tatum, beat Orlando 109-100. It was Tatum out with the wrist, but Porzingis was bloodied last night. He was down on the ground. Now, there's an audio clip. Joe Mazzulla is, as you've noted, a psychopath.
Yep.
He is a nut job. He was yelling at Tatum in game one to get up.
Stop the trainer. Told him don't. If the trainer tries to go out there, he puts his arm up, he goes stop, and then he starts yelling at him to get up.
Makes him end up looking bad because Tatum misses game two. Porzingis is on the ground bleeding. Here's the Grim Reaper in the Celtics post.
Yeah, I think he can control his environment really well with how he handles the crowd and how he handles the physicality of it. And he can maintain his kind of his poise. And he just has a great way about him. And I think that helps us. And like, yeah, I do. I love watching him. I like watching him bleed on the court. I think it's important. And then he comes back in and does his job. So I do like that.
I think it's important.
This is not a character. He's crazy.
He's crazy.
He's got some level of just something's wrong with you.
I like watching him bleed on the court.
I guess it's a good thing he's coaching basketball, because if he was not coaching basketball, he would be doing God knows what to society.
I think I know what the Dallas Cowboys are going to do tonight with pick 12.
Well.
And it may even be a pick a little bit lower. I'll unveil what I think the Cowboys draft plan is as we get you set for round one on the official home of America's team with our Cowboys insider Bobby Bell, Sean, and RJ just getting started on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Happy draft day, y'all. Dallas Stars win as well. It's a fantastic Thursday. Glad you are part of the 6 a.m. club to lead you to the draft coverage tonight with Brian Broaddus, Zach Wolchuk, Nick Harris will join us in studio today for the final 2 hours of the show. Bobby, what time does everything get started at the Ford Center?
6 o'clock, and then the actual draft starts at 7, and we've got a full list of folks that are on the draft show this year, so there's going to kind of be a rotation. So there will be times where I'm not going quiet on you. I'm not just not talking for an hour. It's that it's my break time and that we've subbed somebody else in. So, but it'll be good. I'm excited for it. And this is always the exciting. This is the best day for me of the NFL calendar. I love this day just because this is the day where you get the most excitement and the most like, ooh, what could change for the future of the franchise? And this is where you get the most gossip and things like that. This is just I love this day.
I do too. You get to judge yourself too if you're scouting like you guys. It's kind of like gambling. Like I'll make my underdog picks, and you know, a 6 o'clock game I don't care about with the Orlando Magic. It's like, all right, was I right? I can go ahead and check in on this and look at the progress. And you guys have put in hours and hours and hours, and you can say, all right, do these teams can I work in a scouting department? Do these teams think like I do? And you can sit there and judge yourself.
Yeah, and so it's there.
Start
there's
to judge yourself. You always 3 years.
You always look for the validation of like, did I see this guy this way? Yep. And then if the teams pick, they're like, all right, good. They see it the same way, even though the rest of everybody else disagreed during the process. Like that'll be the case with take a guy like Josh Simmons. So Vach, Lombardi, and Broaddus, they love Josh Simmons. And
he is?
He's an offensive tackle from Ohio State. I think he's fine.
Had the knee injury?
Yeah, he had the knee injury at Ohio State. I think he's fine. I wouldn't pick him in the top 15. They would. And so if he goes number 11 or he's in the top 15, Vach and Brian are going to feel like, yeah, we saw it the right way. If he goes like 26, I'm going to be like, I told y'all. It becomes a little bit of like...
It's like trash talk with your boys.
Yeah, we get to determine tonight who was right over the course of these 4 months.
Okay, so here's what I think the Cowboys want to do. This is the initial plan. Tet McMillan at number 12, and then they either trade down if he's not there. You're starting to hear some Tet noise at even number 5 with Jacksonville. So McMillan or either trade down. And then the other name that I got was the kid from Ole Miss. And that would be Walter Nolan, Bobby Belt.
Yeah, and Walter Nolan is a freak at the defensive tackle position. I had somebody during the draft process, somebody outside of Dallas was trying to say Nolan is like the defensive tackle version of what y'all have in Micah. Like, he's a freak.
Whoa.
And so the biggest problem with Nolan, the biggest question with him is, why is it so inconsistent? Why do people from Texas A&M, where he transferred from to go to Ole Miss, why do people at Texas A&M have so many bad things to say about his work ethic? We had somebody at Draft 101 who showed up, and he had worked with Texas A&M football. Like, he was one of the equipment guys or done something, and he had mentioned to us there on the mic, so this is not like I'm outing anybody, but he said on the mic that Walter Nolan, his reputation around there was kind of like, that is not a hard worker. That's not somebody who's going to come in. Now, did that change at Ole Miss? Was there something about that era at Texas A&M that he wasn't a fan of and he needed the fresh start? Possibly. But Ole Miss, he didn't necessarily rack up the biggest numbers either, like 6 sacks in his junior year. But that's somebody who, if you just look at the traits, he is incredibly, incredibly talented.
Is he a little light at D tackle? I'm looking at him and he's looking a little lean.
No, so he's just a physical specimen. He's like 290, which is a 3 technique you can get away with. But he is a pass rushing monster. The traits are all there for him to be a...
When's the last time the Cowboys have had a legit scary 3 technique pass rusher?
Not like legit scary, but if you want to just talk about quality, I mean, that was... Osa was a really good player last year at 3 technique, but the last time they had one that just wrecked shop, Hatcher 1 year, and then, I mean, really consistently, like somebody who's considered an all-pro, Leroy Glover. That was probably the last one.
It's a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. And that's the Matt Eberflus has said that is the most important position on the field to him is the three technique.
If they took Nolan at 12, would you be disappointed or would you want to see that with a trade down a few spots? Because you're hearing noise right in front of the Cowboys for Nolan as well.
Yeah, San Francisco loves Walter Nolan.
And Peter Schrager, West Coast Connects, mocked Nolan to San Francisco yesterday. Quote, I'd be shocked if he fell out of the top 15 at this point. He might be the fastest riser in the draft. He's quick. He's a people mover and has had a great pre-draft process.
Yeah, so Nolan is, I would be fine if they took him at 12. I like him a lot. I like him more than any of the other guys on the draft show do. But I understand.
The draft show overall doesn't love him?
I think everybody would be like, I would not take him at 12. I think you're fine if you take him at 12. If McMillan's not on the board. Yep. If McMillan's on the board, I would not want to take Walter Nolan. But to me, Walter Nolan is, that's a true first round defensive tackle. But I understand the issues and the concerns of like, is he going to go out there and give us everything every single play? Not that.
Is it
he
like
won't.
A Mozzie motor?
Mozzie's very complicated because Mozzie, it's like a lot of people don't think he's got an issue with motor. People think he has an issue with confidence that he gets down and then he gets taken out of the game by just getting down on himself. Nolan, I think there's more a question of, are you here? Where are you at? Are you active in here? Now, that's just the reputation. It may be completely unfounded. The Cowboys have a pretty good history. I understand. Mozzie has made people now say you got to throw all that out the window. But the Cowboys have had a pretty good history of being able to find and understand and do their research on, does this guy work hard? Is he a quick learner? Cut through the noise, cut through whatever the reputation is and say, what is he actually about on the football field? They're generally pretty good at that. So if they've decided Nolan is able to do that and able to move past that, especially with Brian Schottenheimer seemingly making that like line item one, then I'm going to feel confident that, okay, they got the answer they needed and he's going to, you know, hit that ceiling.
I want to know everybody's 1, 2, 3 on the Frank LaFranco injury attorney text line. I fully expect to see Tet McMillan number one, but I want your 1, 2, and 3 preferred Cowboy options for this evening. Todd McShay,
I was going to say, don't say buddy necessarily.
No, our neighbor. Our neighbor at the Combine in Indianapolis, he's been cranking out some interesting information. Used to be on ESPN next to Kuiper. In his final mock, he has the Cowboys taking McMillan, but with a caveat, quote, there's a lot of smoke about Jacksonville coveting Tet if they can move back from number 5 but remain ahead of the Cowboys. So McShay's saying McMillan, Dallas, but Jacksonville could screw things up.
Yeah, and that was also somebody that Jeremy Fowler was talking about yesterday as could be interested in McMillan. We've also heard a lot of chatter about McMillan or Jenty in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So and luckily, there's really nobody ahead of Jacksonville that people think would take Jenty. So Jenty might be sitting there at 5, and then hopefully you just say Jacksonville grabs him, and then you're set up to where that knocks at 1. I think they're also concerned about New Orleans and New Orleans potentially going, all right, we can take that. And I was talking to some folks in New Orleans yesterday and I was like, hey, which way do you think they're leaning right now? And a lot of the feedback was they could go anywhere of like 5 different places, depending on who's sitting there.
Well, one of the places, according to McShay, that Kellen Moore is not going to go is Shador Sanders. He said that the Shador plummet is probably the number one storyline tonight. Get Deion up there. Get him whining and crying. Have Shador with the cameras on him. That's probably the number one storyline. And Todd McShay says, not only would Kellen Moore not take Shador Sanders with the first pick that they have in the round, he's not taking him with the 40th pick either. So he's making it sound like the Saints are totally out on Shador. Now you're starting to hear noise out of New York with the Giants that Brian Daboll does not like Shador Sanders, and there's some more Jackson Dart noise. Now, not necessarily for the Giants. This is the type of rumor stuff I love, the possibilities, all the tea. Not for the Giants to take Dart at 3, but to move back Bobby and still get him. And then apparently, I don't know what it is about kids and sons in New York, but Joe Shane's boy apparently went on social media with some Jackson Dart highlight package and then like set his account to private quickly after that. So you got Woody Johnson's kid playing Madden. You got Joe Shane's kid apparently loving Jackson Dart, but apparently Daboll
is not in the Shador camp. And Diana Russini said at one point, Shador Sanders was the number one guy on New York's board, and that is no longer the case.
What was the Giants' son? It was last year. Wasn't Joe Shane's son the one who went viral for Hard Knocks, where he's like, draft Jaden Daniels, and he's like trying to tell him to go up and get Jaden Daniels? So he, Joe Shane clearly talks to his kid about this stuff.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I guess it's just the New York way. It's how late does Shador Sanders have to go before I can just call Will Chambers and mercilessly mock him? How late would it have to be? Would he have to go like in the 20s?
Yes.
That would be okay. So I think I've got a chance. This is going to be one of my big dubs if this and I've got Shador as the top quarterback. That's who I like. I've got him in the second round. If I was going to take a quarterback, I think I'd pick him because I want the upside.
Pepe.
So from the Tolos, 877-881-1053, they're 1-2-3. 817 says 1, Mimbo. 2, trade back for Booker. 3, trade back for Simmons. 903 says they want a wide receiver, then D tackle, then a running back. And then 214 says in the first round they want Golden, Tet, or Ibuku, and a running back in the second. Ibuka, I think.
Ibuka. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's clearly, people are talking about positions there. So like one guy, so if one person's saying, give me Tet, Golden, or Ibuka, or Ibuku, or as Peyton just said, and then somebody else is saying, all right, I want Membu, Booker, or trade back and get Simmons, which those are all offensive linemen. Armon Membu from Missouri, offensive tackle. Tyler Booker, guard from Alabama, who Schrager gave Dallas yesterday, I think, was Tyler Booker. And then Josh Simmons from Ohio State, that's an offensive lineman. So I don't know. I think that tonight, if I was to narrow this down, and I'll have my mock draft today, but if I was going to narrow this down, I would say I think Tet McMillan is the clear number one for them. I think that's who they're focused on. And then after that, I think the names that really need to be watched are probably who you mentioned, Walter Nolan, Michael Williams, the edge rusher from Georgia, and then Matthew Golden from Texas. I think those are the three that most stand out.
There it is, Bobby Budd, our Cowboys insider. You with the choices on the Franco & Franco Injury Attorney text line. Nick Harris will join us at 8 o'clock in studio to answer all your Cowboys and NFL draft questions. And tonight we'll have the post-draft show as well right here on your official home of the Dallas Cowboys with the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. Peyton Russell has the audio of the craziest interview of all time. And do we need to start treating RJ Choppy like Shaquille O'Neal with the porter potty? It's Thursday at 6:40. It's the payload next.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today
with Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Okay, am I hearing this right? The morning show is letting Peyton Russell have his own segment?
I just don't get it. We've known Peyton for years. He's horrible on the mic. I mean, gathering the foreigners, this is going to be a train wreck.
Daddy does work, and Peyton just does board hopping.
That is right. It is The Payload every Thursday at this very time, 6:40 on Thursdays. And gentlemen, we're going to start off with a sensitive subject here. Shaquille O'Neal. We love him. Some hate him. We all love him, I think, here. Love Inside the NBA on TNT.
Who hates him?
I don't know. I feel like someone else. Someone always got to hate him.
I don't
him,
love you know? His basketball analysis.
But you love Shaq. Everybody loves Shaq.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. I think he gives back to, you know, family businesses, stuff like that. He's a great guy. But look, I feel like most people, male and female, have been in a position like this before. Shaq was in the middle of doing Inside the NBA on TNT the other night. And all of a sudden, he stands up and rushes off the set. Something you don't really see. You usually wait for commercial breaks to go to the restroom, no matter how bad you have to go. And the conspiracy theories are out there of why Shaq was actually running off the set. And we have the audio and the video here on the fan cam.
The other thing about Kawhi is, you know, what I...
You all right, big fella?
Yeah, you know, catching a cramp?
Go ahead. Keep talking, Jeff.
Yeah, okay. We on TV.
I know what we're doing. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's that olive oil you've been drinking.
I know.
Hey, take some matches with you.
Hey, listen, he couldn't hold it. After 40, he can't hold it no
that's
more.
That's a first.
He can't hold it.
Unless, unless he's no got something. After 40. That wasn't something planned, was it?
No, that
was
not planned.
Dude, that run was, that wasn't a, I got to go pee or something. That was something, that olive oil. I don't know if he's really drinking olive oil there, but
what's
something
the olive
he
oil thing? This is a new thing in which people think they can like cleanse their system, I guess.
Is it?
Yeah, that's some new thing, but
I know a lot of people in general will like do olive oil shots or things just because it's like, oh, here's healthy fats I can get in my diet and different things like that. But, you know, I mean, that was a big part of what like you had to do with soda. You had to put two of those like tablespoons of olive oil in your stuff throughout the day. And so I guess he could just be taking shots of that.
The matches is my move, Charles said. I cannot.
Does that work?
Yes. Two of them. I cannot travel without matches. Yeah, got to get that burn up in the air.
So I don't think I understand the reference, the matches.
You burn to help with the smell.
You like strike a match and wave it in there so the smoke
so it
cuts through the other smell. You've never heard of that?
I don't think so.
Wow. Try it.
Oh, okay.
Try it at home because the spray still mixes not enough. You know what I mean? But two matches... I think that's the best thing to extinguish.
And the candle, we're just going away with candles.
I mean, I don't think...
I don't mind lighting a candle in the bathroom, you know, getting a nice scent going.
It's not going to work as quickly if your significant other is going in there in 5 or 10 minutes. I'm not traveling with a candle either to Oxnard.
I will say, too, the smoke, the burn, the fire, that'll cut through. Whereas I feel like if you just put a candle in there... Then you're just mixing a pleasant smell and a not good. And then
that's
I just
the airspray.
Yeah, and that's just like, oh, this is weird.
Yeah.
So you guys, you know, being big radio, some TV stars here. Yes. And I want to know from the tollers as well, 877-881-1053. Text in your experience as well. Has this ever happened to you on the job or at some, you know, family event where you just got to run and go straight to the bathroom?
This is choppy. He runs over to his backpack with his CVS drugstore in it, and he gets his wipes. And he runs on over to the bathroom. Can you imagine, by the way, going into the bathroom? And I can always tell who's in the stalls. And Shaq is there. and Shaq is just sitting in one of the stalls. Like, how quickly do you want to get out of there?
Do you think at Turner they have to also have just like larger toilets, knowing they've got like three former NBA players who sit on them?
Well, and I feel like, because this has happened to me, you know, working radio, because it's like our time to go to the restroom is either before the show, after the show. You can sneak in, you know, a pee break, I guess, during the commercial break. But you can't go number two. I mean, we've seen it before with Bobby and RJ come back late from commercial break.
Oh, no, these guys do that.
That's quick. I mean, that you got maybe 5 minutes.
But I don't bail. Like, I don't bail on. I won't leave in the middle of the segment. Yeah. I have to wait for it to be done. I will say, when I was running boards in the past, you would have to get up if you had to do that. But if I had to throw up, that happened to me once. I had a stomach bug. I couldn't leave the board. So I was throwing up in a trash can every few minutes while I was sitting there running a board.
You want to throw up right now? I just looked over here at the TV. Look at the Corey Majors cupcake.
Oh, look at the condensation building.
Look at the sweat condensation that will be in my face either today or tomorrow because of freaking Adam Silver. Mm. Hey, Corey, I protest this. Corey didn't even take his cupcake. Joey Erickson took it for him.
Yep.
Like a real man. Yeah. And now Corey wants to sit here and make me pay the price. Back to Shaq.
Look, all you have to do is just get Alec in here. Give him enough airtime. He'll take the cupcake to the face.
Oh, I thought you were saying like Alec wouldn't be able to reach my face and hit me in the chest.
Probably his hair would have gotten in his face. But yeah, so real quick, this happened, I think, a few years ago when I was working a nosebleeds when they were at night. You know, we're up here, we're going through our segments, and I'm like, because I would eat dinner before the show, and I wouldn't have time to go to the restroom before the show, and so it's like I got to figure out when if I could go during the show or wait until after 11 o'clock when the show finally ends. And I was like, guys, you're going to have to hold on for a second. Like, you know, don't play any audio or anything because I got to run to the restroom. So I was gone for maybe 10 minutes of a segment one time having to go to the restroom and I was so worried because knowing Zach and Eric, they would start cussing on there or, you know, getting a little risky there with the dump button and stuff and knowing that I'm away from the board, so... but all went well, and I was able to make it back in time.
I think Ruben was on his second shift, or like his third shift. He had not been here very long, and I was sitting in for Zach, and it was me and Eric hosting on Nosebleeds one night, and Eric's stomach started hurting, and he just goes, hey, Ruben, I'm going to need some time. And he tells Ruben to start moving spots from other breaks to create a 9-minute commercial break.
What?
And Ruben just not wanting to look like it was like, yeah, I got you. And... I don't even know what he did to make come out of the board like happen because it just was a mess. And I was like, just come back. And I like had to talk by myself for like 2 minutes because it was about to be. But Eric just wanted to create a 9-minute commercial break so he could go to the bathroom.
Eric had to go use Nancy's throne over there. All right. It is the payload every Thursday at this time. Guys, we have by far the weirdest interview of all time.
But here. Shaq, he tried to deny this. I mean, we got to finish up the story here. He's like, oh, I was going pee. And then TNT brought in a porta potty.
Yeah, they had the porta potty
next to him. That was fantastic on set.
Guys, we do have the weirdest interview of all time here. We played some great audio over the years, but I've never before have seen this happen. So this is a News 9 in Australia, and there's these two twin sisters, Bridget and Paula Powers, and they're very famous, apparently. They have documentaries about them, you know, about their lives being twin sisters. They were on a scene at a carjacking incident and gave their side of the story. Only problem is they both gave their side of the story here.
Two sisters have told how their mother and man raced to help when the carjacked SUV rolled on Steve Irwin Way, only to find the gun-wielding car thief emerging from the wreck. Here's some of what they had to say.
And one guy, he was up there with our mum, and he went up there, and
he was coming back down towards us,
and he goes, run, he's got a gun. Our heart started to pound, and I said, oh, Mum, where's Mum? And poor Mum was stuck up there, but apparently our brave Mum, she goes, are you all right?
Because he had all blood all over his face.
And he goes, I'll shoot you. She goes, hey, I'm here to help.
No, that was not an echo. That was two separate people talking at the same time.
Wearing the same shirt.
Exactly. And I would get their twins, you know, okay, go along with the bit, but come on, don't have them talk at the same time. And they're saying the same exact words. It was like they were reading a script. Oh, it was incredible.
Absolutely have them talk at the same time. Interview of the year.
This is so...
I thought this was AI.
I couldn't tell it. I did too at first. I thought it was like almost like a bit, and I had to look back. I was like, let me make sure this was actually posted by the news account. But it feels almost like she's trying to guess what the other one is going to say rather than because they gave a follow-up
interview.
The one on
the left is like the leader. The one on the right.
Yeah. So they did.
And I was also looking to see if they were like Siamese or not. I don't know why.
they did a follow-up interview after they went viral with News 7 and they were like doing the same thing. And they were just like, we've tried to talk separately. We can't. We don't feel like ourselves when we do it. But like,
we don't feel like ourselves when we do it.
Do it.
But it's just, yeah, that whole like echoey thing of, it looks like they're trying to guess what they're going to say more than they just can't help it.
Have you guys ever thought what your life would be like as like a twin? Like if you had a twin?
No.
I mean, would you share the same friends? Is it like you have to be best friends? Because I have twin brothers, and they kind of do basically everything together. That, like, you know, with friends and stuff. Like, they'll have the same friends, go to the same parties.
Same girl.
So no. That's... Okay, you said Siamese. No. I'm just going to say it. The girls who were famous for... They were Siamese twins, and they were... So they split basically at the shoulders. And I just always remember thinking, like, how do you... Because I think one of them got married. And it's... But it's like, just one of them got married, not the other. It's like, how do you...
You got to marry the same guy.
But they only... I mean, and I get that. But they said she married him, not this one. Because, like, legally, you can't... It's just weird.
Could your brothers, like, finish each other's sentences?
No. I don't think that's how... Twins
yes, I think it is how it works.
Yeah, it really is. There is like supposed to be a genuine like connection. I mean, you got to think there's so much about them that's similar already genetically.
But I don't think they've ever tried to like when you're talking to one, they're like trying to finish the sentence. I mean, they might think the same, but
are they like the same person basically, personality wise?
A little bit. I mean, not the exact same. I don't think they look alike, but I'm just their brother. But a lot of people say, oh, yeah.
Are they the adopted ones?
No. Unfortunately, no one's adopted. And no matter what RJ says, no one's adopted in my family.
Yeoman says his triplets, which are all like a year old now, he says even at a year that they're all different. Like, they all have different personality types and quirks.
It's the payload every Thursday with Peyton Russell here on 105.3 The Fan.
Last story, guys, here. I need some advice from the guys, and not like, you know, just you guys, but from the male species, because so I've lived with my fiance for over a year now. We've moved into an actual house, buying a house, and she brought up the other day, when can we start washing our clothes together in the laundry? Because I've just gone separate. Like, I wash my clothes, she washes hers, and like, we've never like combined laundry baskets before, and I never thought about it. I didn't think like it was weird, but like, my parents don't do that, but apparently it's a common thing.
So when you go to the hamper, do you have separate hampers?
Yes. Yeah. She has hers that she'll throw her clothes in. I have mine. Oh. So when I do laundry, I'll just go throw mine in there and she does laundry separately. Now, I know you guys will say, well, you know, wife's supposed to do the laundry, but you know, we're not in a situation where like, you know, I'm working, she's just at home.
Right.
You live together, you weirdo. Why are you just separating out your clothes? That's so weird. Like, I get it if her clothes need to be washed in cold water and yours in warm or something like that. That makes sense. But, like, just mix your clothes together. Why would that be like, guys, I guess we're going to have the discussion. Do we start mixing our clothes? Do we take it to the next level?
Well, my brother and his wife, they don't wash each other's laundry. I think RJ and Sarah do theirs separately. I don't know. How many times, I guess you and I are the only ones in this situation. How many times do you think about what your life would be like if your wife was at work every single day and the house chores and the housework had to be divided up because she has a job too? Wouldn't that suck?
Yeah, I mean, she wouldn't be able to sleep. I mean, she'd have to come home from work and then do all the house too.
I haven't done a load of laundry probably in maybe 8 or 9 years.
Wow. I'll tell you what, I will do laundry 10 times out of 10 before I'll do dishes. I hate dishes. Is just like, I don't like the, like, if I'm sitting there washing them and I get like splashback, I hate like when my shirt gets wet. I can't stand doing dishes.
One day I strive to be like Sean Sharif here.
You don't like when you get soapy water on your shirt, but you're fine sweating through a meat church sweatshirt in 105 degree temps.
That's because it's my own water at that point. I'm fine with that.
Ugh! It's that cupcake condensation payload. No. Every Thursday here on DFW Sports Station, we got praise for Sagan. We got praise for Ben. We celebrate the Stars taking the 2-1 series lead with Jake Rietma in studio. Then the commercial-free expressway next.